guys.
Hey, thanks for showing up, guy.
What's up there, killer?
Good morning. Hey,
what microphone are you on there, buddy?
Yeah, let's get a tap test.
I'm on the condenser mic.
Yeah.
Someone said to me once, Aaron Lewis could sing the phone book and it would be good.
I don't like Aaron Lewis.
Is really? That person a liar?
I don't know. I like the way he sings. Him and the guy from, gosh, help me out here.
One more thing.
Fuel? Awful? He did a song with Amy Lee from Evanescence back in the early 2000s. Seether. Yeah, Seether. I like his singing, the way he sings.
Yeah, I like Shinedown better than Seether.
I freaking hate Shinedown.
You suck.
I can't stand that song 45. It's probably because my oldest kid listened it to death.
Oh, try some of the other stuff, man.
I busted out some old school system the other day.
Chop Suey?
No, it was Spiders, the first album.
Oh, okay.
Although Toxicity was a great album. And then right after that, remember, what was it, Steal This Album? Where they took all, that was great. It was like you just got Toxicity, and it was like, man, this album is tight, start to finish. It actually worked on like album form, and it was so good. And then like, I don't know, what was it, like a month and a half later, they dropped that, and it was like 28 songs.
Which one?
What was Steal This Album? Right after
28 songs on that,
wasn't it? Or am I thinking of a different one?
I don't know.
Maybe that was online, because I know that they had like a crap load of songs that they were working out for Toxicity. And then it became, they just put them all in the album. They even had like the Legend of Zelda theme on it.
I don't think I listened to that album.
Are you making this up?
No.
I don't lie about it. Bale seems skeptical.
I don't lie about Serge.
I'm always skeptical. Did you like his solo work? Because I did not.
No, but it was never going to be good.
Oh, really?
No. Like guys like that, that worked good within the band because each one of them, in my opinion, each one of them was a little out of their comfort zone. And I think that's when stuff like that gets really good.
Are there any solo artists that have won out from a band that have been good?
Phil Collins? Mm-hmm. I don't know why that was a friend. The other person that came in, by Steve Perry. Remember O'Sherry? Was that his solo album? That wasn't Journey.
All right, dude.
Should have been gone.
Steal This Album only had 16 tracks.
All right, well, that was close.
Toxicity was 2001.
Okay.
This album in 2002. And then they had the Mesmerize, Hypnotize dual albums in 2005.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of, the amount of songs from that. But they were very prolific there for a good long time. It was good stuff. Rocking good stuff.
I mean, a lot of bands that came out around that time were really good. That was my high school years. So I saw them. That's kind of the music that sticks with you.
Yeah, I saw them at Penn State with Slipknot, the Injustice for All tour. Slipknot opened that night.
So how are you? What are your thoughts on Stone Sour?
Yeah, it's all right.
You brought up Perfect Circle, and
it's not my cup of tea. But I get why they do it. Like if I had to wear that mask all the time and be banging on kegs and stuff, and people throwing stuff on stage, I'd be like, hey, can we just mellow out every once in a while? I would like to not die while I'm playing my guitar.
Corey had Stone Sour before Slipknot, because he wasn't the original singer in Slipknot.
Right. Okay.
And you know what's funny is I was in a not-so-real band. I was hanging out with a group of guys, and we said we were in a band, and we were going to write songs, but we never wrote any songs, and we never gigged. And the guitarist in that band was the guitarist of Stone Sour, Josh Rand.
Really? The original Stone Sour or the lineup when they first came out
after Slipknot? The lineup now.
Oh, the lineup now. Wow.
The guitarist. Yeah. For a while I hung out with him. I would hang out. He had like a small little music room set up in his parents' basement.
Oh yeah, you are from Iowa, aren't you?
Yeah. So I went to high school with Corey Taylor, actually. Not to be a dick swinger.
That's the best one I've heard, yeah.
Same age or
same class. Same age.
This is just now coming up in conversation. Yeah.
We were in earth science together. It was magical. No, he was just like, he had the long hair. He had the leather coat. He played the part of the hood, but he's really smart. He was really, you know, he kept tight grades, but he just like played it off as being a hoodlum. So we weren't pals or anything.
But. It's always weird when you think about people like that. Like, oh, that was a person once upon a time before they got famous. That was just some kid. And then he got a mask.
Bales is definitely not a dick swinger because he doesn't go around throwing that around. Yeah, I went to high school with him.
Man. Yeah, fuck that guy.
What?
Yeah, what? What about 9/11?
Scratched. It'd be good audio if we could call Eloy and wake him up from the nap I'm sure he's taking.
Vigo's got to go out. Vigo at the door like, come on, man. Let you go. I've been tap dancing around this house for forever. It's now.
All right. Let's see if he answers.
Do we got a topic? I can't think of a topic.
Well, you're live on the air with Scratched.
You have reached the voicemail box of 30.
Nope.
Oh. 555-5555. Scratched. Remember in the year 2000 where they remade everything and then just put 2000 at the end of it?
And they're Godzilla 2000.
Blues Brothers 2000. And they literally did that. And he took everything that was like an old throwback and like, oh, dig this up. Put 2000 at the end of it. Perfect.
Did you know anybody that was legitimately scared of the Y2K stuff?
Tech companies. But you mean like,
Like anybody close to you, friends or family?
No,
it wasn't enough on computers. We didn't have enough. We didn't have enough at stake at that point, as a society. Like if that was going to happen now, with the amount of things that happened online, people would lose their ever loving shit.
Yeah, I mean, Doc's in Pennsylvania, so he's Amish.
Yeah, butter is recession proof. Yeah. We can churn no matter what.
Y2K is not touching kerosene.
Yeah, man, we're good.
Yeah.
Or it's the worst thing. Oh my gosh, we ain't gonna be able to search for stuff on Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, right. Exactly. My dog pile search.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about dog pile. What was the other one?
I used Ask Jeeves. Web crawler was the search.
Web crawler.
Dial up AOL discs.
Oh, that sound.
I remember when I got to college, I got on the network in the building. They had like really high speed networks inside the building. So anything you wanted to download, it took no time coming from, you know, ridiculous dial up at the house. It's like, oh Lord, the internet. And if you want point to point, like if you downloaded something from like Napster, it might have taken like a minute and a half, maybe start to finish, which was very fast. But if you, I remember you could go onto other users on the network and like check and see what they had in their shared files. And if they had MP3s, you could take an entire music collection in like 3 seconds. It was as fast as you could pull it into your thing. It was there.
See, we didn't have our own computers when I was in college. We still had the computer lab.
They had the tablets?
No.
Oh.
You'd have the computer lab, and you'd have to turn your ID in and wait for an open station.
Yeah, see, when I said tablets, I meant like Moses, not like like a tablet. I forgot that's still a thing. That's a thing again.
Here's a good question for you. How many cell phones have you owned in your life? Because my oldest kid just walked in the door, and I think he's on cell phone number 8 now, and he's only 16.
Does he lose them or does he break them?
Well, this one was in his pocket while he was walking through the river fishing.
How old the gentleman?
16.
Yeah, he's shithead.
Yes.
No offense, I don't know your kid, but just
he doesn't know what a Ziploc bag is.
It's teenagers in general.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the law of averages dictates he's a shithead.
Oh,
all the chemicals inside his body and brain are against him. Right?
Question: Does he pay for the phone bill and or did he pay for the hardware?
He pays for it all.
Oh, so you think he'd protect it more?
Yeah, shithead on then, kid. Good for you. Go get him, Tiger.
So I've had a lot of phones because I manage the mobile phone contract at work. So usually I upgrade my device every single year. So I'm kind of like a mobile whore.
You're probably a stationary whore too, I bet.
That's true.
Wait, as stationary as he stays put or stationary as...
He sleeps with people for writing paper.
Yeah.
On top. He's a stationary whore.
Yeah. I started with the flip phone and then went to the Nextel and then I got the office job. So we rolled into the Blackberries, 3 different Blackberries, and then I rolled into Droids and then up through the generations of iPhones.
Did you have the Nextel phones that had like the
talker point to point? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My dad, before he started his company, was a supervisor and manager or whatever out at this other company me and our whole freaking family worked at. And he had to deal with this guy that lived like 60, 70 miles away, and they always had those yellow and black Nextel flip walkie-talkie. Did you call it point to point or whatever?
Yeah. Push to talk.
And yeah. He would leave it down on the kitchen counter at night and just all night. Boop, boop. Are you there?
Chirping.
Yeah. Like, what?
You're great.
Way to shut this off.
Yeah.
You didn't have to pay for those. So that didn't count against your minutes.
Really?
It was much more convenient. That was the push to talk was the text message of voice messages, because it was just a quick, it condensed everything. You didn't get like, well, mostly the way I used them, because I had them for a while when I worked for the telecommunication company that I worked for a few years. And that was great because that was push to talk all the way to Indiana, where the project managers were. So it wasn't like a huge ordeal to get in touch with anybody, or if you just needed like real quick information, you could just chirp them. Only reason I got rid of it was because the next job I had, there was no cell phone service on the Nextel there. So it just ended up being a very fancy watch. And then I've run through the eyes.
I feel like there's so many stories I could tell about you right now.
Let's hear them.
Oh no.
No, I'm not going to tell him.
Let's hear about his shit story.
Can I tell him about your second butthole? All
right, yeah, I don't care.
All right.
Jesus.
Good Lord.
This is good. This is good audio. About, yeah. Hmm? Yeah, you'll be all right. I'm going to listen in.
Talk about it. I mean, I already know what happened because it happened. I mean, go ahead, talk about it.
Get out of here.
No, go ahead, talk about
Get
it.
Get out of here.
That's right. You don't want none of this.
I want to embellish the story when you're not around to make it sound worse.
Wow, bro.
No, when he was like six or something, he came running through the hallway, and we had these door stops that stuck up off the floor. Oh, they were like a hook with that rubber nub on it. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the rubber nub came off of it, a rubber cover, and he slid on some laundry that was laying on the floor, and it went right through above his butthole.
Oh,
like straight through, punctured a hole.
Oh,
we had to take him out to the hospital to get stitches, and it literally looked like he had two buttholes.
Yowzer, yowzer.
Right. So the saying, I'm going to rip you a new asshole, has always applied to him.
I'm going to rip you a third one.
I mean, no one ripped. He ripped himself a new asshole.
You get out of here. Do what now?
He ripped himself a new asshole.
Yes, technically.
There he is.
Hey, thanks for showing up, guy.
What's up there, killer? Good morning. Hey,
what microphone are you on there, buddy?
Yeah, let's get a tap test.
I'm on the condenser mic.
Yeah.
So we attempted to have T-ball practice tonight. I checked the weather for the most part. I got there and about 20 minutes before when I went and loaded up the car. Getting dark outside, but you know, whatever. It is the season. They were calling for maybe a thunderstorm late tonight, but whatever. We got out there. We just got done like warming up. We were just about ready to go, and I could see off in the distance. I was like, oh, wow, it looks like rain over there. And it came in the course of, I don't know, a minute and a half. It went from no rain at all to just a monsoon, like heavy wind and hail. And like, I had all these little kids in the middle of the field. it was quite an ordeal. And I'm like packing up the bag. And as this is going on, I remember like, you know, my son is like deathly afraid of like two things, and the wind and the rain are like the two things that really get him. I don't know why. Like if it rains at night when he's in bed, it kind of bothers him. Like, not enough that he can't sleep or whatever. So as this is going on, I turn to him and he is just a mess. He is crying. Oh my God, we're going to blow away. I was like, no, man, we're going to be cool. Just get our stuff together. We're going to the car. He sprinted to the car. By the way, he would, in a bad situation, he would jump over my body to save himself. He didn't give a thought to me because I was trying to calm him down and he just started to run. But he takes off. And as we're running to the car the whole time, he's, we're gonna die. He's like, we're gonna be fine. And I'll tell you what, once I got like real close to the truck, the wind was blowing so hard, we had to dig in for a minute. I had to grab him, like, not that he was gonna blow away, but just to kind of reassure him that it wasn't gonna be that bad. It was awful.
I never played sports as a kid, but this sounds exhilarating.
Yeah, I have the feel good high you know, t-ball team where we show up, everyone does what they want.
You made baseball fun for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you are the new Bad News Bears.
Yeah. Kind of like yeah, Chico's Bail Bonds.
Do you have a sponsor?
Yeah, we do.
Branded t-shirts? What's the sponsor?
They're all the same on the front. The back is Hillis Group, so I think it's like a lawyer attorney's office. I don't think it's cheap to get them names on the back either, because I inquired once upon a time. I was like, what's it cost? It's like, it's really expensive. It's like, that's not a number, and that's all I ever got. Like,
why everybody's really expensive? You couldn't you just start your own Teespring campaign to make Little League shirts and get them for a few hundred bucks?
You probably could. You don't want to poke the bear too much when it comes to these sporting organizations.
I do want to poke the bear.
Well, you go ahead, and I'll point to the bear.
Someone's rigging the system to get thousands of dollars for their advertising. Like, you want Blimpy subs on the back of your damn T-shirt? Just go to Spring and put your own. I just had a thought. Scratch Podcast could sponsor your Little League team.
They could be the Potatoes.
Yes.
Well, they're going to be the Slaters no matter what, because every team is. But
come on,
what?
The local high school, all the sports teams.
Oh, you don't have like a city league?
No, they play for the team, the city, but the city's team name is the same as the high school's team name.
That's stupid.
I didn't come up with it.
I think Bale should go to his local city sports person and start his own little league team.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
I don't have a kid, so that's gonna
right. It makes it even better.
I'd like to sponsor your little league team.
Just really excited to be here. I like the Scratch Podcast uniform.
I'm telling you,
I'll try to find out.
Well, who would be the mascot?
Who
or what?
Eloy.
Vigo.
No, it'd be Eloy as a potato saying, "You suck at baseball."
I'm glad that my plan worked.
Okay. Want to fill us in on the plan there, Doctor Strange?
By not arriving.
Oh, what?
Oh, this is like a chess match.
On time. The three of you would be forced to reveal more of yourselves, and therefore balancing out. And I'm sure that you shared things that were disturbing and personal prior.
Oh, it got dark.
Did it?
Oh, it was dark.
I guess you'll just have to listen when it comes out.
Yeah.
We went down a wormhole, you could say.
Now I'm going to be like a fan watching, like our many fans listening for the first time. And it'll be a surprise for me.
You're just trying to cover up the fact that you fell asleep at 9 o'clock.
No, what happened was that.
No, I fell asleep at 8 o'clock and I slept until 9 o'clock. We tried to call live.
Oh, did you? Oh, that would have been awesome.
Sure would have been.
Would have been.
You one of those people that has their phone on vibrate all the time?
Yeah, I don't. If I don't know the number, I didn't even see a call. But if I don't know,
you don't have Ryan's number programmed in your phone.
I have Ryan's number.
I don't.
It's probably just under like question mark or something.
Yep, question mark right here.
Suck, Eloy.
Well, you know what? For future reference, why don't you guys? We'll start with Bales. Tell us your number on air so that our subscribers can reach out.
867
Party.
Damn you, Tommy Two Tone.
1-800 Party Now.
1999 Wet Sheep.
Oh.
So what's been going on?
Yeah, that's true. Wait, hold on. We checked for sheep.com, but 1-800 Sheep might still be available. How do
so
we
Eloy, you skirted the website? Question twice about what you were doing around town.
Just taking care of Bill.
Musical pimp.
Yeah. Are you back on the circuit?
On the circuit.
Yeah.
Considering the way this
pimp circuit.
I knew it. Considering the way this the podcast goes, it had to be some implication as such. Back on the pimp circuit. Never been on the pimp circuit, I must say.
The musical pimp circuit. Come on.
Pimp by association.
No, dude. Music is in many ways dead.
Come on.
It is, dude. You know what?
I was curious about that because so you used to post a bunch of musical videos on YouTube and you had the full studio, right?
Yeah.
And you used to do the tunes and you basically disassembled the studio. Like you have your drums stacked up in a corner, right?
Yeah, the drums are stacked in the corner, but I was never a massively awesome drummer, although they sound better when you record them live and through, but I also have Reason, propeller head Reason, and I could program stuff.
Yeah, but you were getting somewhat heavy into music.
Oh, all my life.
Were you a self-taught?
Yeah.
And did you do music throughout like middle school and high school?
No, I didn't get into that until I had left school, and a buddy of mine, or no, actually that's not true. I started farting around with the guitar since I was a kid, but when it came together was after a situation. It's a good story. A friend of mine had a warehouse on Bird Road, and his father allowed him to, because he had a dream of being like, well, sort of like inspired by U2 and all that, and at the time. And so he gave him the second story, which was a loft up there, and they furnished it with drums and all these goodies. One day he came by to visit a mutual friend of mine, and when he came by, my friend, the mutual friend, I was hanging at his house, and he said, yeah, this guy's got a band. He's a singer in a band, and they've got a recording. And back then it was cassettes and this and that. And so sure enough, he comes up and I said, hey, my friend here, Ernie, just told me that you have a recording of your band. He said, sure, I'll play it. And when he popped in that cassette and he played his band's song, I just freaking sat there in shock and awe, because these are kids my age recording. A few months later, a few weeks later, we became friends after that. And he said, man, my bass player is going to become a dentist, and he doesn't want to play bass anymore. So I'm going to give you the bass to learn, and you become the bassist. But I don't know how to play. He says, yeah, here's a tab book, all you two freaking tabs. How do you read tabs? And he showed me one time sitting at home. This is how you read tabs. I said, okay. So I sat there and practiced and this and that. So we had the first rehearsal, got to the rehearsal. I started playing badly because I had never played bass before in my life. The whole band was sort of tight. And they all turned slowly during that session away from me into like this little wall. And I was sitting there with the bass, and I understood that I sucked. And they just kept playing. And they never asked me until later. I went away realizing that I needed to learn, and I just started practicing guitar every day, every minute, as much as I could. Always, I slept with my guitar. Like, you know, I read a book. Jimi Hendrix used to sleep with his guitar. I said, "Oh, that's got to be a thing." So I slept with my guitar, and that's how it happened.
So how did you get into it, Bales?
I was playing all through school, so I started at age 8.
So it just started in like band?
Yeah, like elementary school on a little snare drum.
What made it stick for you?
It was the Muppet Show initially.
Really?
Yeah, Animal. I was like, that guy's cool. I want to play the drums. And then you go to band and they're like, they show you one drum. I'm like, but that's not what that Muppet plays, dude. He doesn't have one drum. Yeah, so a little snare drum. So I started at age 8 or 9. And then just did the concert bands and the jazz bands all through.
So you went to school for music, right? College?
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah.
What did you actually take in college?
The first college was classical percussion for 3 years. And then I transferred to Berklee.
Isn't Berklee like the premier music
school? It's one of them, yeah. Because there's like PIT and MIT down in California. Percussion Institute of Technology.
So what do they teach you in college, like as far as percussion, that you wouldn't have learned in, say, band over the years?
The first conservatory was classical, so I'd be doing concert band, wind symphony, opera, percussion ensemble. But I was also doing solo marimba, timpani, snare drum, and marching band. And then when I transferred to Berklee, it's all drum set oriented. So you're taking like drum labs, ensembles, like funk ensembles, jazz ensembles, a couple rock ensembles, whatever you're into, really.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know you could go to school for that.
I didn't either. I didn't want to go to college until I learned that a friend was going to college for music. I was like, what? That's a thing?
So what does a degree in something like that offer you in the future?
You could be a teacher.
I guess I was just beating around the bush to get to it.
No, because my degree, I have a dual a dual major, Bachelor of Arts, and it's music performance and music synthesis, so electronic music. But when I learned electronic music, it was all MIDI programming with Vision. And as soon as I got out, everyone stopped using that. They were just going right to Pro Tools and digital audio. So I was already antiquated by the time I had my degree.
Jeez.
In the 50s, in the 50s, a lot of people, so a lot of bands were coming out, and then there was a rock and roll, and a lot of kids were taking a cue from these small startup bands that had made it, and they started putting together their own bands, this sort of like garage thing, and a lot of music came from that, and then it sort of spilled over into the 60s, where things really got heavy because it branched out from the chord structures that they used to, the basic, chord structures, and they started to mess around with other ideas and psychedelics and all that, and it came from a very, homegrown sort of thing. Who inspired you? Did you have, so for me, the connection was story based. It's always been sort of story based. So music to me, it doesn't even have to be an extended story. It could be a fragment, a moment, just a thought or an impression, like a flash, going off. But it helps that there's all these bands and that you could look and investigate and all that stuff. Did any of that happen with you?
Nope.
Nice.
I'll chime in with this. I am not near the guitar player that you are. I've just always played it recreationally, for my own. And mine was Silverchair in the mid-90s that gave me the bug to want to play.
The Australian band you were mentioning that one time?
Yep. Yes. Nirvana in Pajamas.
Pretty much.
So wait a second. So you started... Because all of us play instruments, really. So you started in the 90s because of Silverchair?
Yep.
And what are they like Nirvana?
They were a part of that post. They were kind of post-grunge.
Yeah. They were like the second wave.
Yeah. I actually didn't like their first album so much. It was their next one and the ones after it that did it for me.
What was the cool thing? So what's the thing about it? So, Bale says, it almost sounds like it's like a mechanical thing, but I can't believe that that's true. Maybe it is just the discipline of it on its own merit. And I can see that. Right. But just the rock and roll inclusion and the fact that there's, Rolling Stone, the idea of stories and all that, it for me, it just that's sort of the,
I think when I heard first got the first album of theirs that I liked, that was when I, I had my guitar and everything. You know how it is when you first get it, you suck at it. And then I was introduced to tabs because I had another friend that played guitar, and I was like, oh shoot, I can actually learn these songs. And then I learned a couple of theirs, and I was like, man, tabs pretty easy to figure out. I was like, I can play anything now. Well, you think you can play anything. And then, so they had, there was a couple different websites at the time where you could go look up tabs just about anything. And then that's when you just start, I can learn Enter Sandman and I can learn this and that, So just, that's what started it was Silverchair.
Those tab sites are some of the most heavily virused up sites you'll ever get on in your life. Pop-ups and... I remember that even back in the day. And recently, I can't remember. I was looking for something, some song. I think I was looking for like a lyric or what. I don't know. And that came up, but like I clicked on it. It was one of those tab sites. See if I get what I wanted to know. Man, it was the same thing. Like five pop-ups and something trailing and something else. It was like, wow.
Well, like 85% of the tabs that you get off of those sites are so wrong. Like you'll sit down and play them and you just notice different pieces of the tablature. Just not, they're not right.
And so, in my case, I'm not. Oh, go ahead, Bale.
So you'd read the tab and play along to the album?
Yeah, start out playing kind of slow. And then, once you got the pattern down of what you were supposed to play, then, crank up the stereo and play along with it.
Yeah. I spent most of my high school years playing along to my CDs.
Yeah.
With those big 70s headphones that my father had that had their own volume sliders on the side blowing up my eardrums.
Did it have the curly cord?
Yes.
That's the best.
And it was a CD player, but I was on a, you know, the concrete slab in the basement. But every now and again, you'd still make it skip.
The tabs have a key plus and minus changer, so you can actually change the key in some of the sites that learn the song and
But I mean, once you like start with tabs, that's all fine and good because you can learn how to play riffs and stuff, different, you know, short riffs. But when you learn how to play chords and go through chord progressions and stuff, man, that's like a whole new freaking world.
So you were playing the
blank because Ryan's.
So what's that, Bales?
You were playing the Silverchair. That was your gateway.
That was the gateway. Yeah.
What were you playing to, Eloy?
What was your question?
So Ryan was playing along to Silverchair. What were you playing along to?
So as far as I can remember, I bought a Doors out because I like the Doors. I bought a tab book. I bought a Metallica tab book. I bought a Beatles tab book, and I bought a Stevie Ray Vaughan tab book and Jimi Hendrix tab books. And there's a bunch of others. I had all Jimi Hendrix tab books, and I had Metallica's and Justice for All tab book.
Oh, that was one of the records I always tried to play. But I was still, you know, I'm a high school student, so I was still under the level.
Mm-hmm.
So you're struggling to keep up with the album.
That was a great, you know what's funny about that album? So Metallica was a really, really big deal for me and my friends growing up. And it's just the heaviness of it, and it's just raw. There were many others, but that Kill 'Em All album was freaking amazing. And all the other albums, you know, leading up to the Black album. And then for me, it just dwindled. But that and Justice for All album, I did not realize until years later, until like maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, that the bass on that album was completely sunk in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was when Jason Newsted started playing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, to me, listening to it back then, it was just so, and I had the record, incidentally, which was bad to the bone, dude. There's a fidelity to the records. If you look into it, that's higher than CD, actually, believe it or not. But playing it, it's a da 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 da, da and just the drums and the electric guitars. I didn't even realize or consider the bass was not, you know, sticking out.
947.
What did I say?
The F word.
You said.
Oops.
What about you, Doc?
What turned me on?
You play bass, right?
I do now. I failed guitar player. I don't know. I know all my chords, and I'm pretty good with an acoustic guitar. I know all open position, everything, and you know I can keep up with what I'm doing. Never really kind of put the two and two together. Like it's never really like snapped in my head. Like it's very mechanical. Like you've seen how there's a disconnect in between what my hands are doing, and what my brain's doing, and I have a hard time.
So you don't play along with albums?
I do, but it's still like if I'm trying to learn something or keep up with people, I never really got that chance to play with people, and that's what's really missing. I don't have that experience of locking in with like other musicians. Not that I'm a musician, but other people playing. I think that's really what's missing from that. I picked up the bass about 5 years ago to try to get beyond all my bad guitar habits. And, you know, learn a little bit more, actually learn it. When I have some time during the winter months, usually I pick it up off and on.
Who do you listen to for bass players?
Right now, I'm big into, like, Duck Dunn. I like all that Stax stuff from back in the day. I like that a lot. Jim Jameson, you know, the Motown thing. I'm big into that, you know. I like a four-string P bass, and I just like that sound. I don't think it needs to go much further than that.
Did you ever listen to Morphine, the guy that played with two strings?
No.
Mark Sandman?
Morphine. So how's that work? Is that just like a gent type thing?
Dude, it was great. I saw them live. in Boston. They were a three piece. Amazing. Two string bass.
That's cool.
Two string bass, drummer, and then a horn player. And this horn player was so good, he could play two saxes at the same time. I still don't know how he did it. Crazy.
With two different notes?
Yeah, you'd be playing his own harmonies. I don't know how you can control the reed. He was amazing. Amazing.
I just want to say one thing about the guitar and like mechanical and this and that. The coolest thing about, so at least American music, I don't want to say it like that, but has a lot of soul. Okay. Not all, but, and it comes from the roots, you know, from blues and jazz and all these things. However, you can hear it in things like flamenco, and there's a lot all over the world. But considering rock and roll, if you take the guitar and the striking, muting the strings, and the empty spots between the actual chord playing allows you to strike the guitar as if it were part of the drums. So when a drummer is playing and you strike, you know, the guitar, you just, you know, ratchet up and down with your hand on the strings. You can fill in the blanks. You don't always have to be playing. And there's something in there that creates, I don't want to say funk, the soul spirit of it, as opposed to just chunka, 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 chunka. And yeah, so that was a big discovery for me. And I learned it using the acoustic guitar with the gut strings, the nylons, because you know how the flamencos go with their, so that's freaking key, you know.
I want to interject something. Have you ever seen any of the videos on YouTube where they take like speed metal songs and remove the distortion from them?
Yeah, it sounds like surf rock.
Yeah, sounds just like the freaking Beach Boys. And, I gotta, you know, look at
that. How do you type that?
Just put I think it's death metal, the one that I saw, yeah. Or it was heavy metal minus distortion. And it basically, if you throw a reverb pedal on it, it's surf rock.
So I'm curious, Bales, who are your top few drummers that you kind of would rank?
Well, when I was younger, I thought Tommy Lee was the cat's meow. But now that I'm older,
now that you've listened to Motley Crue again,
I don't think he's a good, solid rock drummer, but. Then I went through a huge phase where I was all about Terry Bozzio from Frank Zappa and Missing Persons. And then he went into his solo drumming career. But Vinny Caliuta, he's an animal. And he's from like Zappa, Sting, huge session player. He's amazing. I think Lars sucks. I think he's sloppy. He's all in the edit.
Yeah, because you saw because Lars was, let me just tell you this, because you just saw the documentaries from the Black Album up, and he reveals all those things that you brought up. But a lot of these cats do that on recording sessions because there's no choice.
No, man, there's way, way better drummers. Way better drummer. He just, that year and a half in the life of Metallica, right? You remember that?
Of course,
He had people in the studio wearing gloves choking his cymbals for him. He's ridiculous.
But you know how, look, so you know how that is, though. Listen, Bales, you take that back now.
He sucks. Shannon Larkin from Godsmack, awesome. Mike Mangini, awesome. I took lessons from him for a very short period of time.
Why did that name sound familiar to me?
He was in Annihilator. He was in Extreme during the Waiting for the Punchline album. Session Cat, he's now in Dream Theater. He's ridiculous. Polyrhythm, polymetric, totally ambidextrous. He's the machine.
So Neil Peart? Not a Neil Peart fan?
He's good, but he's not great.
All right, Eloy, what about you and guitarists? I want to see what the disconnect is here between our age.
Stevie Ray, I say.
Was probably Stevie Ray Vaughan, was probably also, not probably, it was Stevie, I'm trying to get the timeline, but it was Stevie Ray Vaughan for sure, Jimi Hendrix for sure, like, for sure, for sure. The Beatles, their way of, because see, my thing wasn't to learn the guitar. It depends on what era, but I wanted to write songs, but be able to fill in all the blanks that other people. Because look, I grew up in a situation where my friends would, you know, it was such a mess to get something going. So you had to learn. I figured I had to learn as much as I could so I can complete a damn song on my own, because people just couldn't get their act together. In my opinion, it took like forever to get something done, and egos and this and that. So I learned a little bit, wanting to learn how to songwrite, and which is my main, thing. So yeah, the Beatles, Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Joe Satriani, although I don't play anything like him at all, or Stevie Ray Vaughan, but they're lessons. So people like that.
How about this? Steve Vai or Jeff Beck? How about them?
I like both of them, but Jeff Beck is more, you know, so Steve Vai is way more crazier as far as clean the sound. Jeff Beck is, they're both awesome. They just have their own styles.
I could never get over the wiggle dance that Steve Vai has when he plays.
Oh crap! I also want to add freaking BB King. I loved BB King. You know, just freaking Buddy Guy was insane.
What about the Reverend Billy Gibbons?
Nah, I didn't know that guy, Billy Gibbons.
You don't know Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top?
Oh, from ZZ Top, yeah, yeah. But see, I wasn't.
I think that's where the disconnect is, because as I got older and started appreciating, you know, guitarists more. Because I started out really wanting to play like Mark Tremonti and Dan Donegan.
Tremonti is an animal.
He is. He's amazing.
Really good. Rhythm really, and lead.
When I finally started listening to some harder music as I got a little bit older, it was Dan Donegan from Disturbed. And then as I got even a little bit more older, I started really, really, really liking Yngwie Malmsteen and Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
Just how they could shred. It was amazing.
And I was really into Zach Weil too in the beginning, but then he started using that pinched harmonic too damn much.
Yeah. He played when we went to Ozfest. He was playing with Ozzy.
Oh, yeah,
amazing.
Eloy, you ever heard of Johnny A?
Okay, give me a little bit more. Yes, I think so. But give me a little bit more.
Well, that's his name, Johnny A.
What? But what about?
He's
what?
A blues player, Gibson.
No.
Well, that's all I got.
You got a set of rankings, Doc?
For what, guitar players?
Yeah.
I was big into Weezer when I was younger. And Rivers Cuomo is like one of those guys that you don't think, because of the way they play, that he's not very good. But he like downplays everything. Like, and he also plays lead and sang at the same time. Weird guy, very prolific. But every once in a while, like, he would do something and it'd be like, wow. No, you could tell that he was always holding back.
I was shocked the first time I ever heard or watched John Mayer play.
Oh, like, actually, John Mayer's insane.
Right, because all I ever associated him with was that freaking
Your
Body is a Wonderland or whatever.
Yeah, all that pop punk stuff. But yeah.
Man, he's amazing, though.
Anybody that can play, you know, be the third member of Double Trouble. He's like, oh, and anybody that wants to know, this is Stevie Ray Vaughan's band. They let me play with him now because, you know, guitar.
I'm more into the all these things are good. And when you're studying, you have to focus on one style. You know, I mean, this is all like sort of rock and roll, you know, the way we consume music. Whether we know it or not, it's there's a tradition involved there that's not classical at all, or for the most part. But I'm more into just the vibe of it.
I like instrumental jazz. I don't like anything with words in it.
No, that's good too, and modern jazz too. But that's already this fusion thing. And
yeah, no, I'm just saying, for me, what I like, especially in the shop, I like something that I can like kind of appreciate but ignore at the same time.
And I love your music.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not a fan of jazz.
That's cool to vamp.
I like old school funk, like the Meters.
So you like you like the Chili Peppers when they first started out?
No.
No?
No, me neither. their first album or two, when Blood Sugar Sex Magik came out, and that guitarist, that guy. See, that's what I'm talking about. That guy.
See, they were a lot more funk when they first came out, weren't they?
So you were a John Frusciante guy and not a Hillel Slovak guy?
Dude, the you know, I mean, that just using minimalist guitar, funky, and yet pausing and leaving these gaps, and then the bass coming in, and just the drum. I mean, that is a great freaking album. I mean, complete, you know, start to finish. It's a freaking complete, awesome album. I mean, do you disagree with that, Bales? Because
no, I like it.
It's good.
I was assuming Bales listened to country when he wasn't listening to rock.
No, I don't like a lot of country. I play a lot of pop, and I do play jazz because of all the wedding gigs I'm doing. But I lean towards hard rock and metal, but not like screamo metal. I don't really care for the blood curdling.
Kill the puppy.
Yeah, I don't care for that. But all right, hit me with who are your favorite modern vocalists?
How modern?
So I'll tell you that I think some of the best current vocalists are LeJon Witherspoon is freaking amazing, and Miles Kennedy is amazing. Who are you into, Eloy?
Modern is the difficult one.
Like active. Let's say active. Like Glenn Hughes. That guy is what? He's in close to his 70s, if not in his 70s, and still amazing with Black Country Communion. Have you heard that guy?
I've not.
Serious? You got to listen to them. That's the band with one of the first keyboard players from Dream Theater. Jason Bonham's in it. Glenn Hughes is a bass player, vocalist.
You're saying vocalist, right?
That's yeah.
What, I already lost the question.
Vocalist. Like, who do you like for vocalists?
Who do I like? I really like Dave Grohl.
Ugh. Yeah, he's good.
Ugh. I mean,
he's a great performer.
Ugh. Yeah.
Eloy disagrees.
He's a little gritty.
Yeah.
But
it's not even the gritty.
But it fits the music he's playing.
No, it's just, that's the whole, well, yeah, look. It's just that I'm totally not into that sound in so many ways. I just, oh my goodness, it's a nightmare. And people are like, oh, it's like, oh. I look.
Dude. All right, first of all, you're upset because he was in Nirvana and they killed your baby. Hair metal died. He helped kill it. You need to get over that. Okay? Well, it seems like you're carrying a little bit of a grudge. I kind of agree with some of the things you're saying about the foodness, but at the same time, it sounds like you're carrying a little bit of old grudge that you need to, maybe you need to let that go.
Okay, I understand why you would say that, and I get, but you don't, so here's the thing. Their sound or their style is, I'm going to have to sit and listen again, but so I'm opposed to anything past, for the most part, past the frickin' 80s.
Nah, you don't say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any 90s bands that came out in the 90s that you listened to?
Nowadays, no. Back in the 90s, I did. Like anything.
So that's what I'm saying.
Anything 2000s is hogwash. Total manure. Crap. I can't freaking. There's a certain, you know, that new rock that they used to call new rock or new metal new or
metal,
whatever.
Yeah. New metal, yeah. Corn was new metal, yeah.
I hate it. All of it. Hate it.
Yeah. All right, let me throw some off you, Eloy. David Bowie, singer. What do you think?
I don't like him as a singer, although I know he's talented, but I don't. It's not some. I own some of his records, but it's not like something I'd sit back and be like, oh, yeah.
Elton John.
Great voice. I can listen to some of his rock stuff, but when he starts vamping off on Marilyn Monroe for 15, you know, minutes, I can't deal with that.
I like him when he was losing his hair. Bald Elton John was good Elton John. Donald Duck costume, Elton John, good Elton John.
Crocodile Rock, you know.
Happy Elton John, not so good.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury.
He is the best
thing
since frickin' the invention of steel string. Okay.
Bon Scott.
He was frickin' rock and roll, balls to the wall. I used to, what's the new guy from the new guy's name?
That he's still Axl on Rose.
The new guy from AC/DC.
Brian Johnson.
Yeah, okay, so I thought he was the bee's knees, and yet going back, because when he came out, there was still we were listening still to the cover with where Angus is wearing the horned hat.
That's every album.
I think it was, and they're all sitting. I don't know what album, whatever. We were still listening to that, but I was coming up just when that had happened, his passing, and so I just, you know, went on with it with Brian Johnson, and going back later, I was like, I love his. I was about to unleash a bad word there. Going back later, I was like, damn, that's good stuff, you know.
So what you're saying is there is no song from 1989 to 2018 that you like.
That I could sit back. I mean,
like that you would jam to today.
Maybe that song. What was it? I've been walking to Memphis. What was that song? That walking one hit.
Memphis. Walking in Memphis.
Walking in Memphis. That one is good. Was that still 80s?
No, I don't think so.
Is that a? What? Who sang that?
Oh, that's a beautiful song.
Hold on,
country boys. What do you think of Steve? Dude,
that's
Steve
country
Perry.
Music.
Eloy, what do you think of Steve Perry?
Freaking brilliant vocals. However, all his brilliant to the max.
91.
His 81.
91.
91. So it stops at 91. Steve Perry, brilliant. However, I think that an album within the rock world should be more rock and a couple of awesome ballads. That's old school, but not every freaking song is like, honey, broke my heart and I'm coming back on a, you know. And if you do it rock and roll. Honey! I'm coming back, mother. You know, I was about to say.
So you like Billy Idol?
He likes more and more and more.
I don't like his facial, with the lip, like looking like that guy from the Rolling Stones that I don't like much.
Mick Jagger?
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh.
Eloy, speaking of Steve Perry, remember when we found the video for Oh Sherry and there was like 5 extra minutes that explained everything in the video that was never on TV?
Yeah.
There were so many questions. It answered so many questions I didn't even know I had.
Yeah, because there's like all sorts of minstrels and
minstrels. Yeah, there were people in like Victorian outfits for no reason and that never got explained. I wonder how many videos were like that on MTV, where it was just like they came out with like a 14-minute video and MTV was like, well, we're not putting on the 14-minute video of you having a tea party before you came on stage.
So what about Tom Petty? Doc said tea party. Made me think of Tom Petty.
Awesome. Tom Petty was awesome because he was a songwriter. So his voice wasn't like savage, you know, all the way, you know. But he was a songwriter, and the soul. I don't know, man. I see it as he's a songwriter. Yes, I dig Tom Petty.
He didn't get a lot of credit for being a bass player. He was a good bass player.
Yeah, I mean. So, yeah, I don't know, man. And I'm not saying no to anything after the 80s. I'm just saying that for me, for my listening pleasure, I like to.
I mean, what age is it, though, you hit where, like, all music starts sounding like garbage? Because I constantly am talking to Amy about it. Like, man, this music sucks. Like, we'll turn it on, like, the local rock station, and all they play is the new stuff.
If you don't have an association, if you don't build a memory, if you don't build a connection to it on whatever level, it's like it's going
to
be crap.
I know, but I remember back, you know, in teen years, early 20s, being able to flick on the radio and a new song would come on. Like, oh, this is, you know. I want to listen to it again. So I can break it apart and, you know, listen to the lyrics.
I don't think it's a problem with the music being worse. I think it's a problem with the music that they give you to consume is worse.
And they're all the same they're all the same. It's owned by like the same freaking company, dude.
Yeah, there's still people making good music out there. You just gotta see it out.
Even when we were younger, rap wasn't bad. Like,
with their hats.
You may not have liked it, but it wasn't bad. But like the rap my kids listen to, it just sounds like somebody droning into a microphone, like talking.
Here's the biggest disgust of mine. And this is, and this will happen in every generation, because people from, like, let's say the 50s growing up in that time, I'm sure that they listen to the 60s stuff and they're like, what crap is this? And so on and so, and it continues to. However, with that said, there's still a touch of, okay, so there's romance. So you have these songs from the early 1900s. With the jazz and the early Americana, and then you have this blues that's raw and this country that's raw, like My Baby Left Me, and then the guitar, and it's like a feeling that hits you, you know, and the guy's saying, my woman left me, I'm going to go cross town with a shotgun because that guy, he's a mailman and I'm going to kick his ass. So there's that direct thing. So you have that feeling.
It was a Schwann's delivery man, thank you.
Yeah, or that dude, maybe, you know, but so there's that. Then there's the psychedelics that started to occur, where people are like, you know, the universe and, you know, what if, and this and that, and that's cool too. And then there's the 70s with a return to some to rock, like heaviness, but with the added tones and upgrade in musical equipment from the 70s, recording wise, and the mixture they're taking from back in the day. And then you got the 80s where they're also doing the same thing, but it's becoming more electronic. Then you have the 90s with frickin' grunge, where they're like, I don't care, right? Well, their I don't care screwed everything up. It became
Hold on. I call you out on that.
I don't care. Listen.
Yeah, I don't care. Like I said, that was a scale down. It was a purposeful scale down because, like I said, the explosions inside and the tight pants and the makeup and the hair.
Well, but listen, it gets worse. Too much. No, it gets worse. It gets worse, though. The I don't care, fine. It was a mix, you know, it was, they're mixing it up, and there's I don't care. Then there was 10 years of I don't care. Everybody's lethargic, you know, let's jump off a freaking moving train into a. So, but then you have all this new rock, and then the pop. There was always pop, but kids started to gravitate towards the mainstream synthetic, soulless, spiritless pop music, which is devoid of any. You don't walk away from that music thinking. There, that's the. You don't walk away from that music thinking.
But pop music has always been around.
Yeah, but dude, oh my goodness.
Like I said, it's just what you're given to consume.
I feel like Bales has wanted to interject many a time since we started this.
I'm just listening.
This is like comparing Pizzeria Pizza to like Pizza Hut Pizza.
Then you have these new rock, new metal people that they're trying to bring back that tradition. And you got to give them respect for that. But the producers and engineers and the whole pop thing, it's like it becomes like the sound where the guitars are perfectly in. So it's too freaking clean, distortion. It's like, give me a freaking, like, wrong, no soul. The cool thing about, go listen to an early Anthrax album. Go listen to the early Metallica albums. Go listen to those heavy metal. And the coolness is that there's variations. It's not all perfect. And these people, it's perfect. And then, now I don't even know what the hell you can call this now. It's horrible, dude. It's horrible.
Where are you trying to consume this new music? Because I don't think I've heard a new song in forever.
I'm open to listening, but if that song begins at 000 and it starts and I hear something like stupid, I'm done.
Want something stupid.
Well, at least you're trying. I'm done before I start.